You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Tom, you have written a lot over the years about how the body breaks down in basketball, the travel, how the results get mutated. When all four of the finalists from last year, because of the schedule and because of the toll on the body, when none of them can win a second round playoff game, where they all break down physically, how distorted is this measurement in basketball, these particular playoffs?
I wrote an article last year that said every championship in NBA history deserves to have an asterisk. Every single one. Because every year there are weird injuries or injuries to star players, like you point to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson having the injuries in the finals. Every year has some weird circumstances that led to the champion winning the title. And so if you go down, I went throughout the entire history of the NBA, every single title can be slapped with an asterisk because of some extenuating circumstances. This particular postseason, you have every team remaining in the postseason having an injury to a starting player, except for the Phoenix Suns. So if you go to the Clippers, Serge Ibaka, Mike Conley with the Utah Jazz, go on down the line. Every remaining team has a starter that is out because of injury. Danny Green in Philly. This is part of the NBA. It's a war of attrition every single year. This season has been more so, but the idea that every other postseason has been pure and absent any huge debilitating injuries that change the conversation, I think that's an obtuse argument.
Are the Suns best or healthiest?
The Suns aren't best. I would say they have the best chances of winning the 2021 NBA championship right now, simply because you have Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell hurt for the Utah Jazz. And then you have every other team is dealing with injuries or down in the series. So you have to look at the Phoenix Suns as the likely champion of the 2021 season because of the fact they just swept the MVP, Nikola Jokic. They had the second best record in the regular season. Chris Paul is insane. He had 41 assists and 5 turnovers in that series. 41 assists and 5 turnovers. They're playing at a ridiculously high level, and they're the healthiest team going forward.
No Jamal Murray, though, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do in that next series. I would say the Bucks, though, Tom, when you consider that Kyrie's hurt and James Harden may not come back, I think the Bucks have that series, and if they win that series, they go on to win it all.
Is it still possible for Bucks in 5 like I called back at Freedom? Is it still possible?
How many teams has now Stugatz picked? Because you've been on the Nets all season. You've been
I've been on the Nets when 2 of the 3 guys are healthy, but you know, you have 2 of the 3 guys
that
are healthy.
Anyone who's not Chris Paul, I think, is
that's what I'm trying to do, Jim.
You're spending the rest of the postseason just rooting against Chris Paul.
I am.
Why? What's your hatred against Chris Paul?
I don't have hatred towards Chris Paul. What I'm tired of hearing is that Chris Paul is a top 5 point guard of all time. The guy has never been the best player on a team that's made it to the NBA Finals ever. Never been there.
I mean, what he does is not really all that sexy, right? He just takes really good care of the ball and is micromanaging the offense to the point where he's shooting 56% on mid-range jumpers. Someone like you, Stugatz, should appreciate very much Chris Paul's game. Is he takes what the defense gives him and then murders their children. He just says, all right, Denver, you're going to do a drop coverage here. I'm just going to make baskets all day in the mid-range, shooting 56% in the mid-range in that series. And he's just surgical. Like, what he does against opposing defenses at his age shouldn't be possible. I think more people should be excited about what they're watching with Chris Paul because, look, like, we can get on Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing and go on down the line of all-time NBA players who never won a championship. But Chris Paul has to be right there at the top of that list of the best players who have not won the title.
The thing that Stugatz is doing there that to me is a little annoying because it's so hard for guys that size specifically to be the one carrying a team and at the end of games that he just simply wouldn't be talking about this person doing all of the same things if that person were 6'8 instead. Like, there's just...
Well, Iverson did it, got the Sixers to the NBA Finals. Isaiah Thomas did it. Guys have done it before.
Chris Paul is a better basketball player than Allen Iverson was.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I think Allen Iverson was a better player than Chris Paul. And I'm not just saying that because Allen Iverson took a team, a bad team, to the NBA Finals and had a 1-0 series lead, I believe, over the Lakers in the NBA Finals. I just think Allen Iverson was a better basketball player.
When we didn't know how to do the measurements on how good basketball players are, and it was okay to shoot 40%.
Well, you also remember Chris Paul, what he did in the game last night. He had 37 points and no 3-point attempts. A barely six-foot player not shooting a 3-pointer is such a dinosaur in today's NBA. We never see that anymore. A point guard dominating the game without taking a 3 is such a throwback game. The last player to do that in a postseason game, score 30-plus without taking a 3-point shot is, can anyone guess on here, the last guard score 30 points in a playoff game without taking a 3-pointer is?
Do we consider Jimmy Butler a guard? Because I feel like he might have done that.
No.
Small forward.
Nope.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson.
Nope.
Dwayne Wade.
Last player, Dwayne Wade. Correct.
You, Chris.
Way to go, Chris Cody. We're proud of you. Excellent. Give him some fanfare. This is such a happy time. You are the smartest of the animals in the animal kingdom.
Hey, did you steal my stathead.com password, Chris? Is that how you got the answer there?
Stealing it.
Yeah.
Jason,
what did you guys think? Wait, I'm curious. What did you guys think of the Jokic ejection? Because I feel like this is fraught
terrible.
With lots of...
Terrible. I mean, seriously. That was such a joke. It was an aggressive foul, okay? And Jokic shook his hand before he exited the game. But are you kidding me? Like, there is no reason the best player in the game, the MVP, should be ejected in an elimination game or in any game for that matter for something like that. He went after the basketball. Give me a break.
He did.
Oh, he didn't.
Wound up and was like clearly trying to hurt Cameron Payne. Like, you don't swipe for the basketball by reaching your hand up high and bringing it down, like clearly with intent to hit him. He also did happen to catch him in the face. But even beyond that, you just start from like, if I said to you, take a freeze frame of where his arm is at his highest. What is he trying to do here? Is he trying to take the basketball? Or is he trying to hit Cameron Payne? He's clearly trying to hit him.
It was an aggressive swipe at the basketball, but clearly, I am talking to a bunch of people who did not watch basketball in the 80s. I mean, the mailman is upset that he got ejected. He is. Karl Malone's upset by this, and he should be. He's right.
Oh, wait, so we should have Karl Malone be the czar of the NBA. Like, we should have him
We shouldn't have him be the czar of anything. Okay, no, he shouldn't be. We need to keep Karl Malone away from anything. Just, you don't want to look too close there. Trust me on this. As it regards, though, Jokic and the specifics of what he did, the reason that he needs to be ejected in that spot, even though what Stugatz is saying in general, none of us want to see the MVP ejected, is because both of his hands are canned hams. Like, he cannot bring that from skyscraper heights down upon a normal-sized human being and not do a substantive amount of damage. That guy was not, that was not a basketball play. That was simply, he was frustrated. He's great. Yeah. His team is injured. He's down 3-0. And Chris Paul won't stop killing me with these mid-range jumpers.
So what's funny about that is, I was worried about Devin Booker. I don't know if anyone else was worried about Devin Booker in that situation because he's stepping to Jokic. Does he not know about Jokic's older two brothers? Have you guys heard stories about Jokic's old two brothers?
No, please inform us.
You got to be careful sometimes with some of these guys who have made it to the top of this sport from other countries. Right. You do not trifle with them or their families. Like, I am convinced that no one I've ever met can win a fight against Goran Dragic. No one. He looks like a koala, but I'm sorry, you will lose.
So one of Nikola Jokic's older brothers, his name is Nemanja Jokic. He played with Darko Milicic and lived with Darko Milicic in Detroit and just partied with him constantly, living with him. And he put on like 100 pounds and he was playing for like this G League team. And he told Nikola Jokic, his younger brother, like, I'm not letting that happen to you. When you get to the NBA, me and my other brother are going to follow you wherever you go to every game you play. And we're just going to make sure you stay in line. These two older brothers, when Nikola Jokic was a young kid, at a picnic, they were trying to climb a tree, and Nikola Jokic said, I don't want to climb that tree. And as punishment for refusing to climb a tree at a picnic, his older brother clamped his arms down, and the other brother threw knives at his head.
Oh, my gosh. Shit.
He's at his head.
Oh, my God.
This is a story that...
Now I'm concerned for Booker. I'm like...
Jokic told this story to Lee Jenkins, who did a profile on him for Sports Illustrated. And the whole time I'm reading this article, I'm like, wait, stop here. They threw knives at a younger brother for the offense of not climbing a tree. It's so bad. So when Devin Booker steps to him, that's my immediate thought is like, I really hope that they just all play nice and that they don't have a meeting after the game.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again? Or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
What were your thoughts, speaking of stepping to KD's bodyguard running out and just hitting PJ Tucker with his chest?
Yeah, this is happening a lot in the NBA where it's personal bodyguards are going to the games and not necessarily like the team bodyguard. It's like the players. Chris Paul has one. James Harden has one. Kevin Durant has one. And I was always wondering, like, what happens if they kind of cross the line and overly protect their guy versus like what's normal practice of a team security guard? And the fact that the team has to suspend him, like, that's awkward. These are all awkward things. Pat Riley in the Miami Heat had these awkward conversations with LeBron James about how many of their personal, staffers or the people that he's surrounded with that were on the payroll in Cleveland are supposed to be on the payroll in Miami. And those conversations are super awkward, but it is interesting if you go on down the line in the NBA, which stars have a personal security guard in the locker room? Because that's almost like that's like a status symbol in the NBA. And Kevin Durant has one. James Harden has one. LeBron has one.
It's so great. Kyrie doesn't have one, so he's inferior. They're status symbol. They're like beepers in the 80s is what you're talking about. Anyone who's anyone in the NBA has a bodyguard, and we're headed toward a day where the bodyguards are fighting each other, right?
Yes.
and I'd like to see that. I got to be honest. I'm totally here to watch NBA bodyguard fight.
Well, I think to talk more to the Kevin Durant situation, like I was stunned to see this stat this morning. I was looking up Kevin Durant with James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the floor this season, plus 13 per 100 possessions, meaning they outscore the opponent by 13 points with those three guys on the floor together. That's pretty good margin. With Kevin Durant, without Kyrie, without James Harden on the floor, the Brooklyn Nets outscore opponents by plus 13 every 100 possessions. Kevin Durant is so good that this season, without James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the floor, they've been just as good. Am I saying that they're going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks without those two guys? No, but I'm saying don't count them out. Like the idea that Kevin Durant does not have those two players and they're done, I just think is a real overreaction in this series.
Stugat thinks that Kevin Durant should have won that game yesterday.
All right, Tommy had an opportunity with both those guys out to put a team on his shoulders for the first time in a long time and win a big road game, go up 3-1 back to Brooklyn, and he failed. And he failed miserably, Tom. He was dreadful yesterday.
Yeah, he wasn't good in the fourth quarter, wasn't able to close it out. But look, we'll see when they go back to Brooklyn. Like, they could easily go up 3-2 in this series if Kevin Durant has an efficient game. He didn't have his best game yesterday, but I'm not going to pin that on Kevin Durant. Like, Kyrie Irving with that injury and then no James Harden, I'm not going to put that on Kevin Durant. When you're looking at the other team, the Milwaukee Bucks, like Chris Middleton, Giannis, like, who else does Kevin Durant have?
Not a lot, but it'd be nice to see Kevin Durant take a team on his back and try to get him past Giannis and the Bucks. Tommy, I'm wondering, the team that has, of the teams left, okay, take Brooklyn out of the equation here, because obviously I think the answer would be Brooklyn and the Clippers. What's the best matchup in the NBA Finals for the NBA?
I think it's got to be Philly versus the Clippers. Just the two big markets in Philly, we've been waiting for Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons to ascend into the NBA Finals. They're two of the best young players in today's game. I think that would be huge for the NBA. Like, people want to say Utah, but like Donovan Mitchell, for whatever reason, hasn't grasped the national attention. This guy is averaging the second most points in the postseason of his career. The only person who has scored more points per 100 possessions in the postseason is Michael Jordan. Donovan Mitchell has the second highest scoring rate in the postseason in NBA history, and no one seems to care. Like, he's putting up ridiculous numbers, averaging scoring over 30 points in five straight games, and he's done it his entire postseason. And the Stugatz answer is do it in the finals. Well, like, every star player has this trajectory of like doing it in the first round, then doing it in the second round, including Michael Jordan. And Donovan Mitchell, for whatever reason, hasn't been able to grasp the national spotlight and have people really care about what he's doing. What he's doing, he's scoring a point per minute in the NBA postseason. It's incredible.
Where do you side on Jay Williams versus Kevin Durant? Jay Williams reported that Kevin Durant says don't ever mention Greek Freak or Antetokounmpo. Don't mention him in the same breath with me. And Durant, I tend to side with Durant on this stuff, Tom. He never comes this strong with you're a liar about somebody until they're not telling the truth. So I tend to believe Kevin Durant, even though he's a bad messenger that people don't like.
There's a lot of this in journalism, especially when the lines between media person and former NBA player, part of the NBA player fraternity, is now a media person. Like, it's, the lines are blurred when you're on the record or off the record. And so I actually believe Jay Williams here, but I also think that he might have committed like a media journalistic crime. There is just not saying like, hey, I know that thing you said back at that party. Do you mind if I go on air with that? Was that on or off the record? Like, I don't think Jay did that before he went on air. And so I actually think KD might have said that, And he has to come down and say, I would never say such a thing. I've never compared myself, because I think he has to compensate for the words that were said.
But I think he publicly said that Giannis Antetokounmpo has a chance to be the best player in the world. Like, I think he has said that publicly. I don't
privately
know.
He's telling the truth, Dan. Publicly he lies. I mean, I think that's where we're all.
I mean, he did that to Ethan Strauss. I look at that and he doesn't have to deny it that strongly, does he? Like, what does he care what Antetokounmpo thinks in a series where they're playing against each other? Like, is that something he needs to care about?
I don't know. It's just like you're talking behind my back. You know, like, I think Giannis, I mean, he might be like, they might be friends on the court. And if Giannis felt a certain way about that comment and KD wanted to step up and say, look, I didn't say that. I don't know their relationship. What I do know is, I think as you see more former players get into the media game, like Jay Will, I think this sort of conversation is going to be a lot more cagey in public settings. And we'll see how much of this in the 24/7 Instagram iPhone era, how much of these like private conversations turn public. This is not going to be the last time we talk about
this. Is what Durant said in 2017, quote, I've never seen anything like him. His ceiling is probably, he could end up being the best player to ever play if he really wanted to. That's pretty scary to think about, but he's by far my favorite player to watch.
Mm.
That's what he said publicly.
Right. But privately, I would understand if he absolutely said, hey, like, get his name out of here. I've won three. I'm the best player in the game.
I don't see Kevin Durant right now. Maybe he was different in 2017. I don't see Kevin Durant right now saying things publicly that aren't exactly whatever the bleep he wants to say. Do you? Do you see a lot of Kevin Durant sort of being polite about how you're receiving him?
No, I see him being very sensitive towards how we're receiving him.
There's no question about that. All right, Tom, thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Tom.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Let's segue seamlessly now into Stugatz. He's got a batch of weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan, the game has changed. Spacing. Threes, Steph Curry's pregame gimmicks. But Dan, for one night, I was taken back in time. 38% shooting for the Bucks, 36% for the Nets. Defense, turnovers, and PJ Tucker. Combine that with an 86-83 final score. And Dan, just like that, for one glorious night, basketball was back.
Damn God.
You enjoy that one?
No.
A defensive struggle, huh?
I don't like defensive struggles in basketball.
I do. Nothing is further away from being back than women's tennis. Nets guard, Bruce Brown's nickname, should be the fall guy. I mean, of all the guys to blame on that team, the guy you're going to blame is Bruce Brown? I've never heard of Bruce Brown until people started blaming him. Did you?
He had a big game earlier this year where he scored like 39 points. It was you. Stunned when he heard about
little
it.
Brooklyn Nets expert. That's what
I'm remembering because Bruce Brown expert. That's when I was introduced to Bruce Brown this season as a Net.
All right. Sorry. Apologies to Bruce. Never has a player had more of an impact on a playoff game and series while scoring 0 points than PJ Tucker. That's one bad Mother Tucker. Nikola Jokic. What happened there? I remember writing that. Nikola Jokic, the rare empty, 30-20-10, triple-double.
Totally empty.
P.J. Tucker had a better game.
I mean, he has ham hocks for hands. Like you. They would have expelled Draymond Green for a month from the sport if he had done that.
30-20-10, meaningless.
Yes.
You agree Tucker had a better game, right?
I do not.
What do you mean?
I do agree, though, that he's a bad mother Tucker.
Okay. I mean, he had the rare 0-2-1 triple single, PJ Tucker. He intimidated, though. Oh, boy. Leonardo Spinazzola. He could scoot the Azuri. Whatever.
Spinazzola.
Okay, whatever. Nadal Djokovic. The rare one for the ages, never gets old match. Rafa, Joker.
Tennis is good for those. Isn't that one? Like, tennis?
That's all it's good for.
No, it's so great. Across my entire lifetime, tennis will throw out a Jimmy Connors all of a sudden at 37, and he's just going toe-to-toe with Borg, and it's amazing. Like, they'll do it. They do.
And it never gets old.
It never gets old.
And it's always one for the ages.
It is always. Yes, it's amazing.
I turned on the NBC broadcast and was like, this is the greatest tennis that has ever been played. And I feel like I've heard that about 10 Federer matches.
So true.
Nadal, do it at the French. Joker, winning the French has forced me to make some changes to my top five clay court players of all time. Number five, Dano, Novak Djokovic. Thank you. Number four, Yvonne Lendl. The big check. Number three, Gustavo Kuerten.
Oh, God.
No, he's got three of them, Dan. Number two, Bjorn Borg. And number one, Rafa. And Djokovic sneaks in there. Matt Wielander, no longer in my top five. I'm sure he's disappointed.
It is stunning. That is a hurtful weekend for Matt Wielander.
You know what the K in Kucherov stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Complete bullshit.
It seems unfair.
The line wasn't there the entire season. It's the greatest line in the sport right now.
Yeah, it seems unfair that the Panther season would end there because they were just stashing away that guy.
And Carolinas and soon to be the Islanders.
Everybody's.
It is the best line in hockey, right, Roy? Kucherov, Stamkos, and points?
Currently, yes.
Which brings me to my top five hockey lines of all time.
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go.
Yes, number five, the Stastny line. Peter, Anton, and Marion, brothers, Quebec Nordiques. It was a glorious time in hockey history. Number four, Eric Lindros, Jean Leclair. I don't know his name, but his last name is Renberg.
Michael Renberg.
The Legion of Doom.
I feel like you can't have the... I mean, you can't
do
it.
The Legion of Doom.
No, I'm with you. They made your list
Lindros.
Because they have a nickname, but one of the guys, you forgetting their name?
Yeah, it's not a great line. You're right. But the Legion of Doom makes up for it.
Agreed.
The Triple Crown line. Marcel Dion, Charlie Simmer, and Dave Taylor, LA Kings. Oh, is that a good line? The Skyline, number two, Dan. Mario, Jagr, Stevens.
Here we go. Here comes the great one.
Number one, Luco Bossy, Trottier, Clark Gillies.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, what about
you? You don't have Gretzky, any Gretzky line in your top five?
Gretzky, Curry, Anderson, a great line. No nickname, did not put him in. I mean, and Luco, Long Island Lighting Company. I mean, they lit up the lamp. And you had an enforcer in Gillies. You had maybe the greatest goal scorer of all time in Boss. And then you had Trotz, the captain. I mean, what a line. You won four straight Stanley Cups, Dan. Had a drive for five, but that guy Gretzky got in the way. Forgot about him.
You forgot Gretzky one, in your top five list.
Yeah. Listen, some advice to everyone inside the Islander organization. I'd be very careful even thinking about them being underdogs against the Lightning if you are somewhere in the vicinity of Barry Trotz. He might kill you. With all the sons of former Major League players now playing baseball, I saw something about a Vandy pitcher with the last name Rocker. And I thought to myself, huh, it might be John Rocker's son. So I Googled him and quickly realized Kumar Rocker was not John's son. I just thought I'd tell you that. A packed Wrigley Field.
You were doing some journalism, some research this weekend. I had to check out it, yes.
There's a lot of guys, Dan. We grew up watching their sons are playing.
I know. It's tons. They're all on the Blue Jays. They are.
Oh, boy. A packed Wrigley Field with Bill Murray singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Goosebumps. Also, not sure we should be doing that. On the topic, Venezuela played Brazil last night in the Copa America despite missing 13 players to COVID. I mean, what are we doing? Seriously.
I mean, getting that money.
I guess. Chris Paul up 3-0 for the first time in his career. CP3-0. How about that? I mean, I wrote that when it was 3-0. Now it's 4-0. They got the brooms out last night.
I understand. Okay.
Gerrit Cole never has someone said so much by saying absolutely nothing at all. It sounded like someone asked Gerrit Cole the most difficult trivia question in the history of trivia. If you are ever in need of someone who can really think on their feet, don't ask Gerrit Cole.
He was not ready for the question, and he didn't seem to want to lie, and lying would have been better.
Dan, ready to feel old? Mike Cameron's kid is playing in the majors.
There are, how many?
It feels like Cameron was playing 5 years ago.
How many of them are there, sons of major leaguers? It's more than a dozen now, correct?
Oh, it has to be, yeah. You got Biggio's son, Vlad's son.
Bichette's.
Oh, crazy. Tatis's, right. Why does it feel like every pitcher is on track for 300 strikeouts and every hitter is on pace for 40 homers? The French Open, running off Naomi Osaka. I'm scared. I've been thinking about this one the entire time. Oh, my God. So Barbora Krajowska.
That's Barbara.
Whatever.
What?
There's an O there. No one spells Barbara with an O.
I mean, in other countries, they do. It's Barbara.
Babs.
You do know your baseball stat, right? That baseball's been like that for like 3 years where it's just all
this
or nothing.
This meeting is being recorded.
Home runs or strikeouts. You realize that's where we are with that, right?
Yeah. I'm a little slow to it, granted. I understand. Like, I should have said that 3 years ago.
I'm surprised that that's the first time that's happened, that a meeting has ended in the middle of what we're doing.
Yeah. Zoom added this functionality that can't be turned off. I presume it's for legal reasons, but it is the most annoying thing in the world. This meeting is being recorded.
Do I need to...
Zoom,
the angriest Witty's ever been right
now. He's furious. He really is.
It's been a bad day for him.
Do I need to move forward with the other name here, Witty?
What's Babs' name?
Krajicoff?
Krajicova?
Close. What? Close. I was in the neighborhood. I mean, I was.
Nine the same cul-de-sac.
Not the same continent.
And Anastasia Pavlichenka?
Pavlichenkova.
That's neighborhood, right?
That was, neighborhood.
I'm so pleased you got Anastasia right. Yeah. Well done.
Phoenix Suns. Denver Nuggets. Sixers.
What is that? Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
2-1. But by tomorrow, it could be, We'll see. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
I get LeBron and Jake.
Make sure to call me, okay?
I called him Jake. Jake from State Farm. Drake from State Farm. I get LeBron and Drake, but JR and Jared Dudley? Bronny James has Drake courtside at his high school games and is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. LeBron, good luck with your kid being normal. Drake, yelling at a high school referee. The D in Drake stands for dick.
Oh, wow.
Drizzy. What is he doing, Dan? Enough. I mean, stop being mean to referees. High school, you're Drake. Devin Booker, otherwise known as the one Riley let get away. Didn't think the team I'd be rooting hardest against this weekend would be Finland. Death, taxes, and the Rays. Tony La Russa, getting it done. Angels are better without Mike Trout. Dan, the Metropolitans.
What about them?
The Metropolitans.
I don't dislike the Metropolitans. Right?
I know, but I'm excited.
My parents grew up, right. But I think you think that my New York hatred is for them. It's for the Jets.
I know. I'm aware. We've been doing this 20 years. Does your dad just look at you sometimes and go, Dano, the Metropolitans?
My father, the happiest I've ever seen him, was the 86 World Series.
Really?
He ran around the living room in tighty whities because the ball went through Buckner's legs.
Death. Taxes. And Odell Beckham Jr. looking amazing after surgery. OBJ. Let's just say this. Odell Beckham is always going to look amazing. Cispedes. You may have lost the match.
Cepas.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, my God. You made him Cespedes.
But who cares about the match when you look like that? One might say you lost the fight but won the war. Some advice to everyone in the Islander organization. Even while up 1-0 on the road, I'd be very careful even thinking about Tuesday night not being a must win if you are somewhere in the vicinity of Barry Trotz. He might kill you. Every game is a must win game for Barry Trotz.
What's the matter, Roy?
I mean, I made that same observation during the Panthers-Lightning series. I got laughed out of the room.
Well, you don't have Trotz. I do.
Yeah, that's true.
Steve Nash finally had the coach and didn't know what the hell he was doing. Speaking of hell, Art Briles, Dan, those are the weekend observations.
I'm surprised, Stugatz, that you didn't have anything in there for Aaron Rodgers. You saw that, was it the president of the Packers? I don't know. Somebody in charge.
Mark Murphy?
With the Packers, yes. Called Aaron Rodgers a complicated fella. And I feel like Packers management probably ought not say much of anything to disparage Aaron Rodgers. And I want to go back for a second here, Stugatz, because I don't know. I know I've become fanboy for Aaron Rodgers publicly, and I don't actually know him. I've talked to him a couple of times, but I don't actually know him. My admiration for him comes simply from having seen, to that point, no quarterback play that position more artfully than he did. A lot of things go into winning. You can argue all you want, and I don't have a winning argument if you tell me Tom Brady is a better quarterback. But in terms of playing the position as an artist, for feel, for everything, Aaron Rodgers, before Mahomes, was the best I've ever seen. And so that's where my admiration for him comes from. The way that that organization has taken that excellence for granted in a way that has not supported him properly or respected him properly. When we just saw, man, it ain't organizations. Look at what just happened to Belichick. We've been laughing at Tampa Bay for most of their existence. Like, it ain't the power at the top of your organization. All the things you want to believe about that sport, it ain't that that makes the success. If you have Aaron Rodgers,
you're good.
You're going to win 10 games every season no matter where he's playing because he's that good at what he does. And those people who are not nearly as good at their jobs in that place. And when I say that, I mean everyone in Wisconsin. None of you are as good at your job as that man is at his. None of you. There's nobody in Wisconsin doing anything as well as he does that. The fact that he wants out of there after carrying your asses for 13 years because that's it. He's done. He wants something that feels a little better than that. I can't blame him. I'd get upset every time I were him that somebody was putting in quotes, complicated. Fella, this ain't complicated. Respect me because I'm great and I've been carrying your asses across a decade and a half. Like, It's not complicated.
No, but my guess is they feel like they have supported him and have surrounded him with people, with Devontae
Adams.
They
can think that. And right. Mike McCarthy, you saw it. I mean, Kyler Murray just got done calling that team ass. He just said, they've been ass all my life. We've rarely laughed at them harder than when Mike McCarthy was in charge.
Sure.
Mike McCarthy was carried like everyone else in that organization. All of them. They got, with two quarterbacks, lucky that no one wanted him earlier, that 22 teams missed and didn't know. Otherwise, he would have been doing that somewhere else. And having the same success, any bunch of bums would have won 10 games in a huddle with Aaron Rodgers.
When you have one of those guys, you have a chance. Every single season, you have a chance. And if you're the Packers, you still have 5 or 6 years where you have a legit great chance. And you're going to let that leave? Over a GM.
It's
over
just,
a general
it's just,
manager.
Stugatz, it's just a modicum of respect, man. Right. Just include him on some of the dumb decisions you got to make because he knows his job.
It's this simple. Aaron, we're thinking about taking your replacement. We're going to take Jordan Love. And Aaron says, guys, don't do that. I'm fine. We're good.
It's not even that. It's not. Tampa asked Brady that question. And he said, yes, go ahead, Trask. Ask. Just ask. Get an honest opinion.
Is saying he's complicated, though, like, that big a deal? They could have said he's been a giant pain in the ass for 2 years, and they didn't. They're like, ah, he's complicated. Realistically, how long is Aaron Rodgers going to continue to play, right? Like, this happens with aging quarterbacks. They eventually leave. They're just getting his backup now. And Aaron Rodgers did this to Brett Favre. So I don't see why this is a big deal. Aaron Rodgers can decide at any moment, I'm going to retire. And then they don't have a quarterback, and what are they supposed to do? They're building for the future. It's not like they're saying, Aaron, we drafted your replacement and you're not playing anymore. He's still the starting quarterback. They just have someone for when he leaves if he doesn't want to be there. And they know more than we do about what's going on behind the scenes and whatever's going on between him and management. They just have someone there. And what if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt? Then they have a backup that they can go to.
I understand this notion of succession planning. I think you do it for everyone now other than aging quarterbacks because Tom Brady is defying age. Drew Brees defied age. You don't say that someone's 36 and you got to go get their replacement. Like,
but what
you,
happened to
like
the Patriots?
You write it out. You write it
out. What happened to the Patriots without Brady?
Well, they didn't
have a plan.
Well, actually, Billy, they went early on their succession planning. They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo and he was ready, but Tom Brady wasn't ready to leave. Like they.
Well, Brady went to the owner, but Billy's point is Belichick had a plan. A similar plan, yeah. And Belichick went. Brady blew it up,
but he had a plan that was going to be successful.
But I'm not even talking about the final indignity of Jordan Love on draft day. I'm talking about the extra layer of that on draft day, you didn't get him help. Like for many years, you haven't gotten him real skill position help. You can talk about how Devontae Adams has proven me wrong. He has. I did not believe that he was a number one receiver when he started in the league. I do believe Aaron Rodgers can make a lot of guys number one receivers and look like number one receivers. But I can concede that Devontae Adams is indeed help. But they've drafted precious little in the way of helping him. Tom Brady left New England because it was a whole lot of Troy Brown and a bunch of mixing and matching and not enough getting of Randy Moss at the skill position.
But I think you said it perfectly, Dan, where bare minimum, just ask. Just like, how does it hurt? Just ask the greatest quarterback who's ever played, hey, are you cool with us taking a quarterback here in the event that you're going to retire soon?
Billy, you say aging quarterbacks and you have to have a succession plan, but he was the MVP of the league. Like, by value, no one was better in the league. So it's not like that precipitous drop is happening next year.
But the year they took Jordan Love, he did not have a great season. Last year, he had a great season.
Okay, yes. But how about evaluate your talent better? He was the best in the bleeping league last year.
But what do you do if you ask him, hey, are you cool with us taking a quarterback? And he says no. Are you just not going to do okay, well, Aaron says that we're not going to do this now, so we're not going to continue to plan for the future. I mean, you can ask him. What do you think he would have said if you would have asked him?
Billy, I would say that if your relationship with him had been good all along, that Brady would have shrugged his shoulders on Trask like he just did, and that Rodgers would have at some point, if you'd been consulting with him along the path, giving him that respect, allowing him to be a part of the power structure because he knows more about what he's doing on offense than anyone in your building. And so I would extend him the courtesy, a decency that is just very simple with your valuable employees in any workplace. just ask. We might still be at ESPN. Just if they'd asked. Like, just ask.
Like, what about me?
Yeah, you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.